माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जयो राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी गोपी जना वल्लभ गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी गोपी जना गिरिवरदा यशोदानन्दना व्रज जनरञ्जना यशोदा यशोदानन्दना व्रज जनरञ्जना यशोदानन्दना व्रज यमुनातीरा वनचारी यमुनातीरावनचारिया जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहार जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर श्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर श्री श्रीमद भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर श्रील प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की वृजभूमि वृंदावन धाम की पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की नवद्वीप मायापुर धाम की गंगा मैया यमुना मैया की वृंद देवी तुलसी महारानी की कलयुग पावन हरि नाम संकीर्तन की निधाई गौर प्रेमानंद ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायामुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोकैर्भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम् कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 30 टेक्स्ट 13 कण्डोः प्रम्लोचया लब्धा कन्याकमललोचना ताम चा पविद्धाम जागृहुर भूरुहा नृपनन्दनाः कण्डोः प्रम्लोचया लब्धा कन्याकमललोचना तं चापविद्धां जागृहुर् भूरुहा नृपनन्दनाः कण्डोः प्रम्लोचया लब्धा कन्याकमललोचना तां चापविद्धां जागृहुर् भूरुहा नृपनन्दनाः कन्याकमललोचना तां चापविद्धां जगृहुर् भूरुहा नृपनन्दनाः कण्डोः ऑफ द सेज कण्डु प्रम्लोचया बाय अ हेवनली सोसाइटी गर्ल नेम्ड प्रम्लोचा लब्धा ऑब्टेन्ड Kanya, daughter, Kamala Lochana, lotus-eyed, Tam, her, Cha, also, Apavidham, given up, Jagruhu, Bhu, accepted, Bhruruhaha, the trees, Nripanandanaha, O sons of King Prachini Bharishat, Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Radha Vrindavan Bihari, Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai. O sons of King Prachini Bharishad, the Heavenly Society girl named Pramalocha kept the lotus-eyed daughter of Kandu in the care of the forest trees. Then she went back to the heavenly planet. This daughter was born by the coupling of the apsara named Pramalocha with the sage Kandu. Purport. Whenever a great sage undergoes severe austerities for material power, the king of heaven Indra becomes very envious. All the demigods have responsible posts for the management of universal affairs and are very highly qualified with pious activities. Although they are ordinary living entities, they are able to attain responsible posts like Lord Brahma, Indra, Chandra and Varuna. As is the nature of this material world, the King of Heaven, Indra, is very anxious if a great sage undergoes severe austerities. The whole material world is filled with such envy that everyone becomes afraid of his neighbors. Every businessman is afraid of his associates because this material world is the field of activities for all kinds of envious people who have come here to compete with the opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus Indra was very much afraid of the severe austerities performed by the great sage Kandu, and he sent Pramalocha to break his vows and austerities. A similar incident took place in the case of Vishwamitra. From other incidents in the Shastras, it appears that Indra has always been envious. When King Prithu was celebrating various sacrifices, outdoing Indra, Indra became very envious and he disturbed King Prithu's sacrifice. This has already been discussed in the previous chapters. King Indra became successful in breaking the vow of the great sage Kandu, who became attracted by the beauty of the heavenly society girl Pramalocha and begot a female child. This child is described herein as lotus-eyed and very beautiful. Being thus successful in her mission, Pramalocha returned to the heavenly planets, leaving the newborn child to the care of the trees. Fortunately, the trees accepted the child and agreed to raise her. We'll also read the translation and purport of the next two shlokas. Kshut kshamaya mukhe raja soma piyusha varshinim deshinim roda manaya nidadhe sa dayan vitaha. Thereafter the child, who was left to the care of the trees, began to cry in hunger. At that time the king of the forest, namely the king of the moon planet, out of compassion placed his finger, which poured forth nectar, within the child's mouth. Thus the child was raised by the mercy of the king of the moon. Although the Apsara left her child to the care of the trees could not take care of the child properly. Therefore the trees handed the child over to the king of the moon. Thus Chandra, king of the moon, put his finger within the mouth of the child to satisfy her hunger. 15th. Praja visarga adishtaha pitra mamanuvartata tatra kanyam vararoham tam udvahatama chiram. Since all of you are very much obedient to my orders, I ask you to immediately marry that girl who is so well qualified with beauty and good qualities. According to the order of your father, create progeny through her. Purport. The Prachetas not only were great devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but were very obedient to the orders of their father. Therefore, the Lord asked them to marry the daughter of Pramalocha. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Juta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamcha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhubhya Eivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Ramo Ramo, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, welcome everyone. So we are continuing our discussion on Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, describing the life and activities of the descendants of Dhruv Maharaj, essentially. So we have seen, currently we are studying the story of Prachetas. These verses are indicating the conclusion of the entire pastime, in which the Prachetas, being ordered by their father, underwent austerities before they could create progeny. So that was the purpose of the Prajapatis. When the world was created, when creation was at its initial stage, there were not many living entities populating the world. So Lord ordered Brahmaji, the original Pita, to create progeny. And Lord Brahma, in turn, ordered great sages and progenitors to populate the world. So they are special devotees who have this responsibility of being progenitors. And that's the mission, that's the order of their father also to the Prachetas. So here, Srila Prabhupada is giving an... Prabhupada lists envy in the purport of Shloka 13 as the prime cause of entanglement within this material world. It's such a creation that everyone is the king of their own kingdom. Everyone is in their own bubble. So although there is a possibility of coexistence and brotherhood, that is completely destroyed by this, by introducing this one element of envy. If otherwise we could have unity, the world would be such a better place to live in. But this one trait, this one toxic element of envy, leads to infighting, conflict, and sometimes destruction, even between family members. So this is the unfortunate situation of this material world, Srila Prabhupada is saying, and denoting it by the example of King Indra, the most powerful devata of this world. If he is propelled by envy, what to speak of lesser entities who do not have that situational, positional power? So, as they say, absolute power corrupts absolutely. So Indra cannot afford to imagine losing his supreme position. So he goes to any extent to create distractions in the path of great sages or kings who are trying to attain perfection. Everyone looks at the world through their own mentality. We see the eyes through our biases. We see the world through our biases. So, like Daksha cursed Lord Shiva that you will not be able to enjoy the oblations of any sacrifice. Lord Shiva is Ashutosh. He's self-satisfied. He's not interested in the offerings of sacrifices. Why did Daksha give such a curse? Because Daksha himself was attached to the offerings of the sacrifices. So depending, this is Maharaj's beautiful statement, we see the world according to our attachments. So if I am attached to something, I'll think he is also attached to that same thing. So that will create fear, envy and competition in me. That's the society we are unfortunately living in. And Prabhupada is saying, so this apsara named Pramalocha had a daughter who is now being recommended by the Lord for marriage of these 10 Prachetas. We'll go back to seeing who these Prachetas are and why don't they even have individual names, so to say. Before that, we'll just see what Prabhupada also is mentioning in the verse 14 and 15. So as the trees could not take care of the little baby girl, they entrusted her to the care of sun god. And we know moon god. We know Soma. Soma ras, is the supplier of rasa in all vegetation. Soma bhutva rasatmakaha. So Lord Soma, moon god, has the ability to nourish the creation. So he personally did that by putting his finger in the mouth of this hungry baby girl while she was crying out of hunger. And this she was satisfied. And in Shloka 15, Prabhupada says that Lord is instructing the Prachetas to immediately marry that girl. So one thing we can note here, according to the order of your father. So they were definitely devotees of Krishna, but they were also obedient to the orders of their father. So depending on the situation of a devotee, Lord gives specific instructions. He wouldn't give the same instruction if the consciousness and faith of the person would be different from those of Prachetas. So this instruction to get married is specifically suited to Prachetas and their obedience to their father and their role as Prajapatis. So let's briefly see the background of Prachetas and how they have been diligently, obediently carrying out their mission of creating progeny. So we know Swayambhu Manu and his wife Shatarupa, they had a son named Uttanapad, and Uttanapad with Suniti had a son named Dhruva. So in the lineage of Dhruva Maharaj, a few generations later comes Anga, and from King Anga, who had a mischievous, notorious son Vena, from the churning of the thighs of Vena comes Prithu Maharaj. So we are discussing these kings in the lineage of Dhruva Maharaj. So Prithu Maharaj's son was Vijitasava, and he had a son named Havirdhana. Havirdhana, with his wife Havirdhani, had a son named Bharishat. The king's name was Bharishat, because he was so engrossed in performing karmakanda ritualistic activities, he's named as Prachini Bharishat. Because of when we have to perform rituals, we have to create certain circumstances, follow a certain time, place, situation. So he used to spread out straw mats. So he would do so many rituals that he had covered the earth with straw mats. That's what it said about him. So therefore he got the name Prachini Bharishat. And Prachini Bharishat with his wife Shatadruti, who is the daughter of Ocean, with her he had 10 sons, who are these Prachetas about whom we are discussing today. So this is the great lineage of the Prachetas. So they are coming from a very great legacy of devotion. So Prachetas were all same in quality, in religiosity, and they also were addressed as one group, as Prachetas. So they were equal in religiosity, equal in their mission. So from the start, we see these signs of them displaying this epitome of unity in mission. This will further bloom when we come to the conclusion of their mission. That leads to the Lord being pleased with them for this one quality of being united in purpose. We'll discuss a little bit of why unity or cooperation is considered the highest virtue in spiritual societies. So, once after their father, Prachini Bharishad, ordered them to marry and beget children and populate the world, they were Prajapatis after all. So before that, they undertook austerities for 10,000 years. Some sages, some yogis go to Himalayas to perform austerities, but they went under the ocean to perform austerities, to have complete seclusion, no distraction. So what are austerities? Let's try to understand. Austerities are giving up our indulgences in order to obtain the favor of the Lord. So like a child would follow the order of their parents, would abstain from playing, from indulging in junk food, or any other such his immediate needs, so that whatever their parents have promised, the child will get. If you study well, I'll give you a gift. But to do that study, it requires austerity. It requires abstinence from enjoyment, from immediate enjoyment. That opportunity, giving up of the opportunity of immediate indulgence, is austerity. So the real meaning of austerity is to obtain the favor of Vishnu. That is the essence of austerity. And on the other hand, if we see, if somebody has obtained the favor of Lord Krishna, that means they have already performed austerities in their previous lives. They are receiving the fruit of their austerities. After all that, they have received. So if we see the goal has been achieved, we should understand the effort have already been put in. And what is receiving the favor, receiving the grace of the Lord mean? They receive, if somebody performs austerity, receives the grace of Krishna, how is that manifested? They get tattva gyan and they get devotion. They are able to see things as they are. Sarva dware prakashanti. They are able to see sense objects for what they are. They are not deluded by the false nature of sense objects, that they are pleasurable and they are eternal. That's how sense objects hide their real nature. Actually, they are matter, they are prakriti, sense objects. They don't have any inherent element of happiness or bliss. Matter can never have an inherent element of bliss. But the nature of this world is that sense objects cover their temporary nature from the eyes of one who is not learned. So by receiving the grace of Krishna, one gets this vision. And then a person starts to see everything for what it is. One comes to the understanding that Krishna is the Bhoktaram. Bhoktaram yagya tapasam. So of all the austerities, who is the enjoyer of my austerities, my sacrifices? It's Krishna. And that is the only way to achieve peace and therefore happiness. So this realization, we have all been reading this, but for it to turn into wisdom and realization requires the grace of Guru and Krishna. So if somebody realizes this, they will immediately, automatically give up their mentality of trying to enjoy this world. Because it's not real, it's temporary, and it's not pleasurable in the first place. And me, in my eternal nature, I am spirit. I am not connected to this dead matter at all. It is only because of my previous impressions of enjoyment and the desires which I created thereafter that I am getting one material body after another. So to reach a level of realizing this is indicative of the grace of Krishna. So devotion to Krishna is the real favor of the Lord. And that is the end result of all austerities. So if we have received, if there has been birth of devotion within our heart, we should not worry about separately considering to perform any austerities. We are starting from a point where Lord and Guru have bestowed that seed of devotion in us. And from there, we have to continue to water that seed. We are not on the path of tapasvis. And if even if after performing all kinds of austerities, if somebody does not attain this jnana and bhakti, then their austerities are useless. Does this remind you of any shloka? Yes. Naradito hari tapasa tathakidam. So, if you are performing austerities but not worshipping Vishnu, what is the use of your austerities? And if you are already worshipping Vishnu, then you don't need to perform austerities separately. So therefore, now the interesting part, the intervention of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is self-satisfied, he's Ashutosh, he's already taking care of jivas who are in very degraded species out of his great compassion. So Lord Shiva, being dharma vatsalaha, so how does one attain the mercy of the powerful devatas? So for our endeavor to be successful, we definitely have to put in our effort. For our mission to be successful, we definitely have to put in our endeavor. That is our cheshta. But we being tiny jivas, how much can we accomplish? So what we really also require is Daiva, the blessings of the great powerful Devatas and ultimately of the Supreme Personality of Lord Godhead, Krishna. So what attracts those great powerful Devatas? Who, if they are on our side, then any mission is possible, however impossible it might seem. So what attracted Lord Shiva to come and help these Prachetas? They were Dharma. Lord Shiva is Dharma Vatsalaha, very much fond of religious principles. So if somebody is dharmic, they immediately attract the attention of superior Devatas and Krishna. They also need to be Dharmagya. Again, people who know what, understand what Dharma is, live a responsible, accountable, purposeful life. That's Dharma. Shila Sampanna, they also have to be well behaved. We cannot have understanding of Dharma and that is not reflected in our character and behavior. That's incongruence. That means there's something wrong. So, behavior, gentle Pritan, gentle and well behaved person, is a symptom of already having a deep understanding of Dharma and having an affection for following dharmic principles. So these were the traits of Prachetas that attracted Lord Shiva to personally intervene in their lives. As they were approaching, as soon as they left home to perform these austerities, Lord Shiva, out of great mercy, because that's the nature of Lord Shiva, he's Ashutosh. He's really concerned for every living being. And he's Prapannarthi Haraha. He takes away the dangers from the life of devotees. So, he instructed them on this absolute truth. So, these are a beautiful set of prayers called Rudra Gita, which Lord Shiva narrates to Prachetas. And there is a reason for him doing this. And what? So there is one part is to have the fortune of receiving a great advanced spiritual master. But the other half is to also have eager disciples who take the instructions of the spiritual master seriously and meditate upon them. That's the word used in reference to Prachetas. They meditated on the instructions of Lord Shiva. Dhyayantaha. They didn't listen and then, fine, we'll try to follow it in our lives. Thank you very much. They meditated. I mean, this is the secret of success, Srila Prabhupada writes. If you have to meditate on anything, meditate on the instructions of your spiritual master. That is the secret of success. So Lord Shiva knew that they are going to perform austerities and they are going to worship Vishnu. Lord Vishnu is referred to as Tapasapatim. Beautiful. The Lord of austerities. Bhuktaram Yagya Tapasam. So the word used in this section is Tapasapatim. One who is the receiver of the austerities of the devotees. So when somebody is not yet a devotee of Lord Krishna, the devatas are drawn to help such a person to reach the lotus feet of Krishna. So Lord Shiva is here intervening to help Prachetas become devotees of Krishna. We have personally seen in our lives also, if somebody is sincerely following dharmic principles, worshipping devatas, They are those same devatas which these followers are so dedicated and faithful in, lead them to Krishna very beautifully. And they are thankful to those devatas once they are Krishna devotees. So that's exactly what Lord Shiva is envisioning here. So why? Because Lord Shiva considers Lord Vishnu or Krishna as non-different from him. And anyone seriously, sincerely surrendered to Krishna attracts Lord Shiva's attention. Oh, this is a sincere soul attracted to Vishnu. So let me help him. That's the mood with which Lord Shiva intervened to help Prachetas. Now let us understand what instructions did Lord Shiva give Prachetas and what position were these Prachetas in. So it is said that if one performs dharma, their swadharma or varnashram dharma very systematically for 100 births, they are qualified to attain the post of Brahma. If somebody is more qualified than that, then they can approach Lord Shiva. Whereas, if somebody directly surrenders to Krishna, they surpass both these levels and are directly promoted to Krishna Loka. So this is the gradation. So Lord Shiva mercifully chants the Rudra Geet, giving instructions to Prachetas. Now remember the context of Prachetas. They are the sons of their princes. They are in the royal order. They have the duty of creating progeny. So we are not discussing here the technicalities of how to live in this world. What Lord Shiva is here giving them is Tattva Gyan. Why? That we will also come to later. So he speaks to them the Rudra Geet. What is the Rudra Geet composed of? We'll see in a, we'll cover in a couple of minutes the summary. First of all, Lord Shiva starts the Rudra Geeta by performing purification of Antakarana. That's the systematic procedure of offering any prayers. First, you purify yourself. As we do purification before we start worship, same is in the offering of prayers. So first we have to purify our Antakarana, Manas, Buddhi, Ahankara and Chitta. After we have purified our Antakarana, next we purify the Upasya Devatas, the demigods who are presiding over various elements. We have to respect them. Then Lord Shiva starts to offer beautiful, amazing prayers, starting from Darshanam No Dirdikshunam, Dehi Bhagavata Architam, very beautiful section of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Lord Shiva describes the beauty of the Lord, the rarity of bhakti, and the power of devotee association. So these three things are conclusively established in the Rudra Geeta, that bhakti is the most rare, and the association of devotee is the conclusion of all benedictions. That is what the Prachetas are later on going to pray to Lord Vishnu when he appears to the Prachetas. Now Lord Shiva is telling them that devotee association is very important. As a result of hearing this, when Lord Krishna appears to them personally, this is exactly what they are going to request. If you want to give us any benediction, give us the association of your devotees. So, and later in the Rudra Geet, Lord Shiva also describes Lord in relation to this material creation. There is discussion on Mahavishnu, Vishwarup, Brahman, Maya, Kala. So these are all important to understand because they connect divinity to our current reality. As we know, Lord Krishna doesn't have any reason to do any creation. He's Atmaram Aptakam. Krishna is happy in his realm with his dear most loving devotees, enjoying Leela. So there is no need for creation, but Lord does it out of compassion for the conditioned jivas, to give them an opportunity to continue their karmic cycle and to ultimately liberate themselves out of that never-ending cycle of birth and death. So here, in that section, one verse comes. It says, people who are actually learned, so the whole world, Lord Shiva is telling people, telling Prachetas, that I am the destroyer of the worlds. That is his responsibility as a guna avatar, destruction. So he says, people are afraid of me. But those who are actually learned, they are fearless because they know that you are the final destination. Such a beautiful shloka it is. Akutaschid bhayagatihi. Akutaschid bhayagatihi. Undoubtedly fearless. That is the nature of devotees. While others may fear the destruction of this creation, devotees are fearless because they know Krishna is my ultimate gati. So, now let us understand why Lord Shiva is instructing them in this nature of reality, in nature of Krishna, and the power of bhakti. So, if you remember, Prachetas, like other prajapatis are progenitors. So they have the responsibility of creating population. So when Lord Shiva says this Rudra Geet, which I just narrated to you, was actually first told to us by Lord Brahma, because he is the original progenitor. So when he is giving this responsibility of creating progeny to others, he is also giving a caution. Engage in material creation, but there is a danger in material creation. What is the danger in material creation? Material entanglement. So if we don't do our worldly responsibilities in knowledge of the ultimate reality, we will definitely get entangled. So that is Lord Shiva's intention of introducing Rudra Geet to Prachetas. That they are well equipped to create progeny. They are well equipped to do austerities. But they should not get entangled in doing that. Let me help them. Let me give them a perspective of the ultimate reality, the rarity of bhakti. So when they do that material creation in this knowledge of divinity, they will not be materially entangled. So everything we do, we should have one eye on divinity. There's a beautiful shloka which we chant. Om Tat Vishnu Paramam Padam. So those who are learned, they always have their vision on the Supreme Lord Krishna. Om Tat Vishnu Paramam Padam Sada Pashyanti Suraya Diviva Chakshusharatatam Tad Vipraso Vipanvayo Jagran Saha Sammindate Vishnu Riyad Paramam Padam. Whatever we do, however expertly we do, the goal of everything we do is to constantly remain in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. If we do our duties but we lose contact with Krishna, then what is the use of doing our duties? However diligently, however expertly, the world may appreciate us, but actually we are not leading anywhere. So therefore, Lord Shiva instructs them, do your occupational duties as kings with a pure heart, plus chant this prayer and fix your mind on Krishna. This is the powerful combination. Responsibility with spirituality. That is the way of liberation from this samsara. Lord says that will bring you good fortune and you will attract Krishna's mercy because you will please him if you act in this way. So that the level of prachetas is at the level of karma mishra bhakti. They are attached to the activities, their responsibilities. So the shloka here, that Lord Shiva is saying, do your responsibilities, but fix your mind on the lotus feet of the Lord. So similarly, when Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, yat karoshi, yad ashnashi, yad juhoshi dadashi, yat tapasyasi kaundaya, again tapasya, tad kuruswa mad arpanam. So the difference between Varnashram and Bhakti is that in Varnashram, the activities are first performed and then they are offered to Krishna. In pure devotion, that first we offer our intention, our activities, our manasa deho geho to Krishna and then perform our responsibilities. So social responsibilities are secondary. Pure devotional service, the nine limbs of devotional service are primary. That's the difference between pure devotion and karma mishra bhakti. Right? How does we start with what intention and when do we offer the fruits? So this is the specific instruction Lord Shiva is giving to the prachetas depending on their consciousness, their faith and their inclination. So the vast body of Vedic scripture needs an expert doctor to prescribe exactly what the person needs. There is recommendation for karma, jnana, yoga, bhakti, and in various combinations. So who needs what when? So when Narad Muni saw Mrigari, he did not tell him, give up hunting, it's so sinful, you will rot in hell. Did he say that? What did he say? What did he instruct to Mrigari? Kill fully. Now a rishi like Narad Muni is instructing a hunter, puri tarah maro yaar usko. Is that spiritual? That is the expert guru. Because if I tell the hunter who is so conditioned to give up hunting, he'll not follow my instruction at all. But if I tell him something which he can follow, that because he's following me, he started to follow dharma, other things will happen in due course of time. So Mrigari felt that to be relevant. So our instruction has, the instruction of a guru has to be relevant, it has to be specific to the person. So Mrigari was inspired to follow. In following a pure devotee, he transformed himself to become a devotee. And later on, he would be careful so that he wouldn't end up stepping on ants. Such a transformation. But that requires the intervention of an expert surgeon like Guru's instruction. So, our first Varnashram is incomplete if the results are not offered to Vishnu. Dharma swanushtitaha pumsa vishvaksena kathasuya notpadaye dratiyati shramevahi kevalam. If our social responsibilities, doing them to the best capacity in the most perfect manner, does not lead to devotion to Krishna, then all of it is a waste of time. This is in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.8. So then what is the right way to do it? If we are so busy that we have no time to remember Krishna, then all our occupational duties will also become wasteful. That's the analogy of adding zeros one after another without adding the one in front of him. So the conclusion is, as it said towards the end of Bhagavad Gita, ultimately, 1846, in the performance of your own duty, you can attain perfection if you fix your mind on Krishna. So Krishna, through the entirety of the Bhagavad Gita, he never talks of giving up our responsibility. But responsibility in knowledge, karma, embedded with jnana, becomes buddhi yoga, which blossoms into bhakti. That is the recommendation of the Gita and again of Lord Shiva here to the Prachetas. So in that way, one can continuously continue to engage with this world. Like a yogi is getting realizations when a yogi is alone in the forest contemplating, a devotee who is socially engaged, in the middle of his duties, he's getting that realizations. So being socially engaged is not a second class yoga. It is more powerful than the more nuanced and difficult paths of giving up our social responsibilities and following the paths of jnana or yoga. So, Lord Shiva says, if you do your duties in this manner, you will attain bhakti, you will get knowledge, all your desires will be fulfilled. Why is he saying that? Because they initially had desires. Desire to be obedient, desire to create progeny. So Lord is blessing them. He's not cursing them. Your material desires will be fulfilled. Just like Dhruv Maharaj. After Lord appeared to him, Lord said, you will get a kingdom greater than your grandfather. Why? Because you initially had that desire. The problem is, in the process of purification, our desires are also elevated. And later at that time, a devotee repents. Why did I have such a mundane desire? I'm so embarrassed in front of the Lord. I don't want anything. Just your darshan is enough for me. So similarly, when Prachetas performed austerity for 10,000 years, all their trouble, their misery was completely soothed by taking the darshan of the Lord. Nothing else was needed. Just the beauty of the Lord evaporated all their troubles and miseries. If we work hard and we attain success, then all that hard work seems relishable, right? Similarly, the Prachetas, after having darshan of Krishna, felt perfect. 10,000 years of austerity, paisa vasool. We got darshan of the Lord. It's not miserable, it's amazing. So, the Prachetas, we are going to see that in the future verses, I'll not cover that now. They not only attained Krishna's planet, but they also received perfection in this world. The scriptures always talk of two things, Iha and Paratara. Paratara is your next destination. So our scriptures are not superficial promises of an elevated afterlife. Our scriptures also tell us how to engage and be fulfilled in this life also. That's the dual combination gift of our scriptures, Iha and Paratara. And even beyond Paratara is Parama. Having darshan of Vishnu and attaining Krishna's planet is beyond Paratara also, it is Parama. So, Lord Shiva is also called Girisha. Girisha means he's master of Durga Devi. So most people come to Lord Shiva to attain material happiness. And because he is Girisha, he is the master of material energy, he can give people material happiness. But that's not what pure devotees pray to Lord Shiva for, or pray to, for at all. A pure devotee never aspires for material happiness. Why? Because as we discussed initially, by receiving the grace of Krishna, a pure devotee, or even a sadhaka for that matter, is able to see the real nature of sense objects. That I am spirit, this is matter, how can spirit find happiness in matter? Sense objects inherently are devoid of happiness. They are dead matter. And even if there is a feeling of so-called mental happiness in engagement with sense objects, it is temporary. Every sense object that we take our pleasure from is temporary. So that's with that perspective, a pure devotee never aspires for material happiness. They are directly transferred to Vaikuntha Loka. And you see the beauty of Lord Shiva offering the prayers that were first given by Lord Brahma. And the same prayers were used by Prachetas. So this is the power of Parampara. If we offer the prayers of the great devotees, we will get the same outcome that they achieved. So when we are studying Bhagavad Gita, we will actually get the same benefit which Arjuna received. That is the power of receiving knowledge in Parampara. So this was very common at that time, Srila Prabhupada writes, to perform thousands of years of austerity. Valmiki Muni, he performed austerities for 60,000 years. Of course, at that time, the lifespan was also a lot of, it was thousands of years. So the theme is, to accomplish any material project, there is a requirement to have enlightenment. First, perform austerities, orient yourself, therefore the training in Gurukul, therefore the knowledge and culture is important. So we have to do our responsibilities, but we have to get trained to do that. That's what we mean by austerities. And when we are doing it, we have to do it in devotion. That is how we'll live a life in this world and we'll still be heading towards liberation. That's the formula of success. That's the way of living in this world. So Lord appeared to them and he said, I'm very pleased with you because all of you are united in your purpose. Why is unity so endearing to the Lord? Because what was the reason that the Lord created this material manifestation? Because innumerable jivas had independent, unfulfilled material desires. Now imagine thousands of tiny particles all moving in random directions. Brownianian motion. That's how ordinary light looks like. But when there is polarization of light, plain polarized light, sorry, they all come in one direction. So if people unite in their goal to reach Krishna, that is the success of Krishna's creation. Krishna is happy that the jivas are understanding, aligning and reaching the purpose of me doing this entire circus of material creation. Therefore, he's so happy. So, unity, cooperation, as Srila Prabhupada says, is the most important quality for spiritual aspirants. So, when we come together as a community, it could be in a marriage as Grihastha Ashram, or it could be in a community. So, there our individual identity takes a backseat. If all of us work with the desire to have my success, my name, my accomplishment, we'll not be able to achieve a greater goal. As they say, synergy, 1 plus 1 is not 2, it is 11. That's the power of collective. That's the power of unity. So if many people unite, they sacrifice their individual identity, individual ambitions for a while, give them a backseat and focus on the mission of the Guru, the goal, the mission of Krishna, then that collective becomes a giant who can achieve impossible tasks. One example of that is the very project we are here in. Because many people align to the vision of one advanced soul, we could achieve something which was never possible by individual efforts. Is there a dearth of resources in the hands of people outside? The one thing that people appreciate when they visit here is the spirit of unity you have, the drive you have, and what you have created is not doable, even by people who have these resources. Because that drive doesn't come from individual ambition. That drive comes from a higher mission. So, but we do not need to give away our individuality. We are individuals, we have individual mind, individual intelligences, we will think differently. I'll have different opinions from yours. So disagreement is not disunity. It's very important to understand. It's okay to have an argument with our peers. But the point is, everyone has the common goal of serving Krishna in our best capacity. This should not change. As till the time we have this as our common goal, we are united. How to do that might have different opinions. That is disagreement. Disagreement is different from disunity. So we should not get disgusted by disagreement and leave the project. That, oh, there's so much confusion, chaos. That's individuality. Wherever you go, you will find it. So we should try to see, is are people united in their purpose? Are people united in the vision? We try to create this outside in the material world, it's not possible. There have been so many attempts to create unions of nations. But all nations have their individual ambitions. So that's called diplomacy. How I show that I'm part of a union, but I still try to fulfill or push my personal ambitions. This is diplomacy. It's applauded in the world outside, but not in spiritual circles. So we should have only one goal, which is to serve Krishna to our best ability. And that is what will make Krishna very happy. And then he'll bestow mercy, blessings and empowerment to us. And we as a collective will be able to do impossible things in the service of Guru and Krishna. So in this way, Prachetas fulfilled their desires and attained good intelligence, it is said. What is the meaning of good intelligence? Good intelligence indicates that they went home back to Godhead, because that's the real final goal. If somebody is intelligent enough, they'll want to achieve freedom. So they achieved freedom after achieving success in this world also. So this is what attracts the Lord, we should remember and try to practice it in our lives. That if we can, the minute independence that Lord has given us, if we use it in His, we align it with His purpose, then we will be happy. If we obey the dharmic principles which are outlined by Krishna, we'll naturally be happy. If we disobey the principles of Krishna, we are misaligning with His plan. Therefore, we'll be unhappy. So we are responsible for our own happiness or distress, because we are either choosing to obey or disobey the plan of the Lord. That is the essence. So here it is, Lord is blessing the Prachetas that you will have a son named Vishruta, and he'll become very glorious and spread the name of your family. Chanakya Pandit gives the example that in a forest, if there is a tree with fragrant flowers, that fragrance glorifies that particular tree in the whole forest. So if there is a devotee in a family, that family is glorified everywhere. So that is the blessing the Lord is giving Prachetas. But is it not entanglement in material life if they engage in creating progeny and have their material desires fulfilled? What do you think? Lord is blessing the Prachetas. Go ahead, have progeny. You'll have a son who will create progeny and will become very famous. These look like material benedictions. Will they lead to implication? What do you think? Why? Lord is saying, you will do this, you will develop unadulterated devotion to me. Because that, see, our endeavor will give results. That is not the complete equation. Our endeavor, if it is in alignment with Krishna's plan, if it is in alignment with Dharma, will give us the according result. If it is not in alignment, it will lead to entanglement. So we'll close with this beautiful shloka from 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which indicates this. That you might be living in this world with all the social responsibilities and connections, but if Krishna is your focus, you will never be entangled. And if Krishna is not your focus, everything will entangle you. Tavad ragadayastena, tavad kara griham griham, tavad mohangri nigado, yavad Krishna nate janaha. This is Lord Brahma praying. Until people become your devotees, their material attachments and their material desires will remain thieves. Their homes will remain prisons. And their affectionate feeling for their family members will remain foot shackles. But if we direct, if we make Krishna the center of our lives, all of this will lead us to greater devotion. That's the Bhagavad understanding of Varnashram responsibilities. So thank you very much for your patience. Any questions or comments? Sure. Right. I'll share what Bhagavad Gita gives. The path that Bhagavad Gita gives is very systematic and very progressive. It's very clear. It starts with duty. The most Indians' understanding of Bhagavad Gita is do your duty. The parents tell the kids, study well, get a good job. The apna karm karo. That is the most basic level of Bhagavad Gita's instructions. After duty is knowledge, jnana. That jnana has to convert into wisdom, vijnana. When we reach a level where what we are studying, we are knowing, becomes realization, means we can actually apply it in our life, that is the time we will attain absorption. Because absorption requires freedom from distraction and clarity. So we all have to aspire to reach that level. So meditation helps to reach that stage of absorption. And performing diligent duty also helps us to reach that level of absorption. Once we are at a stage where we can seamlessly absorb into something, from there we can try to practice devotion, love for Krishna. So these are progressive stages. And wherever we are, we can take the next steps to reach absorption. Does that answer your question? Bhagavad Gita itself, you know, in its entirety is the answer to your question. But this is a path. Correct. Yes. Yes. Correct. Yeah. Right. Right. Yes. So that's the goal of the yogis. They want to achieve single-pointed absorption in one object. That's the yogic path. The jnani path is to analyze the world and using that power of analysis, break every attachment. I'll not be attached to anything material, even if it appears pleasant. If a kid comes up to me, this is material, this is maya. So they break all emotions based on analysis. That's the jnani path. But a devotee does not only do this, but the devotee actively engages in shravanam kirtanam. So what we are doing now is bhakti. By coming to morning program, by attending Bhagavatam class, we are doing shravanam, we are hearing Krishna's glories. We are doing kirtanam, we are chanting about Krishna, we are chanting Krishna's name. So these are direct limbs of bhakti. They will automatically lead to a position where jnana and vairagya will become a byproduct. So if we do bhakti sincerely, we don't have to separately endeavor for jnana and vairagya. So the power in the process is, bhakti is the most powerful process. So these are various paths, and they all are, I mean, they are not very categorical, they all mix into each other also. But bhakti yogis will specifically do shravanam, kirtanam, Vishnu. And they'll also try to focus, reach, attain focus of their mind and attain detachment from this world. But that's not their process. Their process is bhakti. And that happens. Sure. All of us can. We can. We encourage you to explore devotion. And as soon as you start practicing it, you will see the effects coming, and that will give you further nourishment. It's an experience. So take to it. We encourage you, and you will be on your own path very soon. That's our prayers. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande.
Surrender to Guru Swami, because unless you surrender to Guru.